Delaney.
Thank you, Murillo.
All yours.
It's good to be with you. I'm fighting a little bit of a chest cold here, so I'm feeling like a bass this morning. I've got my bass voice on. Appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit of the work that we're doing. We just started here in 2019, looking at some detailed evaluations of effects of heat stress in cotton in the low desert. Just a little bit of background. Kelly kind of covered some of this, but we've seen a pretty constant decline in acreage in Arizona since the highs of the 1980s, where we were about 500,000 acres. We've declined to a pretty steady acreage of about 150,000 to 180,000 acres. Our production systems are characterized by hot, dry climates with relatively low disease pressure. So we've seen Arizona become a preferred place for seed production. We see a lot of cotton come into our state, growers asked to plant varieties for seed production. And what we've noticed over the past few years is some of the varieties that these growers are growing, we see disruptions in fruiting patterns. And a lot of those things are correlated to the level one and level two heat stress events. And Kelly mentioned a little bit about that, but I'm gonna talk about that in more detail today. So there's been a fair amount of work done looking at heat stress effects on cotton, some in the 50s and 60s, but more recently in Arizona, Dr. Paul Brown and Karen Zier did a lot of work in the 90s looking at effects of heat stress under controlled environment systems. Some of the things that they observed primarily were flower abnormalities. They saw smaller flowers, asynchronous development of the male and the female portions of the flowers, failure of the anthers to dehiss or to release the pollen, presence of elongated stigmas and shortened filaments. And so you see some of these morphological differences or effects in the flowers. And here's just some pictures to show you some examples. Here on the left, you can see this is a normal flower not exposed to heat stress. Now you can see the anther sacs are right up there around the top of the stigma style. They're all got pollen all over the anther sacs. You see that flower in the middle there, bottom, that's one that's been exposed to heat stress. This is some pictures that we took from our trials here in 2019. You see the elongated stigma, the separation between the stigma and the anther sacs. And we also commonly see issues with 3 to 5 day old bowl shed. That's primarily what we see the effects of heat stress in our environment. You'll see cavitation. You can see up here in this upper picture that black circle there, that's a small bowl that's cavitated, remained on the plant, desiccated, scars where the bowls have actually shed. But that's the primary response that we see. We will also see this phenomena of asymmetrical bowl development, hook beak bowls. This is pretty common. And it varies by year, but we will see this quite regularly under high heat stress years where you don't get real good pollination, you get partial seed fill in the bowl and you get these asymmetrical bowls. And obviously those don't open very well. They're very difficult to pick and can reduce yield. So how do we measure heat stress? Well, in Arizona, what Dr. Paul Brown kind of developed in the 90s is this crop canopy temperature. Relationship of looking at air temperature, relative humidity, and vapor pressure deficits. So this is a calculated value where level one heat stress is 82.4 to 86 degrees. Really don't see a whole lot of effects on our cotton crop when we're in that range. But when we get above 86 degrees for crop canopy temperature, then we begin to see bad things happening. There's a URL right there. If you go to our website, you can get more information about these equations. How they're developed and how they're used. And there is very good correlation between actual measured crop canopy temperature and these calculated values. So what we wanted to do is establish a protocol and try to develop some measurements that we could take in season, in field, to determine a cultivar's ability to withstand or what the effects of the heat stress are on those cultivars. And then correlate these observations to final length yield and other properties such as fruit retention, seed set production, and obviously yield. So in 2019, we started this project looking at some of the measurements that we were taking were pollen dehiscence, flower morphology. We did extensive plant mapping, and we've got a lot of data still to go through. I'm just going to present some of the flowering data here today. Incidence of abnormal bowls, and then at the end of the season, through bowl sampling, we did a lot of seed counts, seed per bowl, seed index, lint yield. And in this particular trial, we planted two varieties that have known heat tolerance. That have been developed and bred right there in Arizona. Delta Pine 1044, which is an excellent variety for us. Unfortunately, we don't have any more. I got one bag, I think, is what I've got left. that I'm hoarding, and Delta Pine 1549. And then the varieties that we evaluated were the 40 entries that we had in our university advanced strains trial. So this is what we experienced in 2019. I have on here both 2018 and 2019. We oftentimes tell our growers, we try to give them some ideas of how to avoid or mitigate heat stress through planting date, variety selection, things like that. But I found a much better way to avoid heat stress, and that is to plant a heat tolerant evaluation trial. And that's what we experienced, unfortunately, in 2019. So if you look at that blue line, you can see that the heat stress came in fairly early. I mean, we had heat stress days there at the end of June, coming into July, and extending all the way really through about the end of August. We had 20 some odd days of level 2 heat stress, and these were extended periods of level 2 heat stress without a change. Well, in 2019, we had a tremendously cool spring, and really it didn't warm up until we got here into the latter part of July. We began to see some level 2 heat stress, just a few days here and there. And then it kind of subsided. Then we had a little bit more there towards the last part of July. But again, these were just kind of scattered days. And we can see some effects in the plots from those days. And then at the very ending of August and first September, we had some very high level heat stress. But by that time, most of the crop had already been set, and it really didn't have a big impact on it. So this is the flower morphology. We went through and evaluated flowers every 2 weeks. We gave them a score of 1 to 5 on flower morphology, and this is based on the separation of the female and the male portions of the flower. So that would be a 2 there on the left, a 3 in the middle, and a 5 on the right. So this is what some of the flower morphology data look like for the four separate planting dates. You can see in the 31st of July, 13th of August, we were up in that 3.5 to 4. We had a lot of variability among the varieties. But there on the 17th of July, and then again on the 26th of August, back down around 2 to 2.5 on the flower morphology scale. I know these graphs are very difficult to see, but I just wanted to throw them up here. These are the individual varieties that we evaluated. I've got circled there in the upper left, Delta Pine 1044, and the lower right is 1549. The individual bars are sample dates. You can see that both of our control varieties held up pretty well, both 1549 and 1044. So there are other varieties that did really well. The Phytogen 580, which actually was the highest yielding variety in this trial, you can see, well, you probably can't see, but this is 580 right here, did very well, had very, very good flowers throughout the entire period. Also looked at flower dehiscence, basically did a 0 to 4 rating. If we didn't see any pollen, we rated it as a 0 all the way up to a 4 rating. And I know you can't see those, but that one there on the left would be a 0, and those anther sacs are just completely bare of any pollen. Pollen dehiscence, this is what we saw for the 3 dates that we had on this data. The 31st and the 13th both were pretty brutal in terms of pollen dehiscence, down around a 1, less than a 1, and again, a lot of variability. On the 26th of August, though, we did see things bounce back pretty well, where most of the flowers had lots of pollen. And again, this is the same type of figure, the different varieties that we looked at with the control varieties in the upper left and the lower right. So a fair amount of variability. But unfortunately, that variability didn't necessarily translate to, at least this year, effects on lint yield. We'll talk about that as I finish up here. This is the seed and yield data. And I just have this in a tabular form just to kind of show you the variability that we were experiencing. We had percent lint, seed index, seed weight per bowl, number of seed per bowl, and lint yield, means associated with standard deviation. So there's a fair amount of variability in those parameters that we measured. But again, not real well correlated to lint yield. But I do want to show just some correlation analysis that we did here with the floral components. This is across all sampling dates. So if we took all sampling dates and did a correlation with yield, you can see that very low correlation values, 0.14 for pollen dehiscence and a negative 0.17 for flower morphology. Now, when you start to break this out by dates, we begin to see a little bit more of a relationship. Here on the 31st of July, about a 0.3 correlation coefficient for pollen dehiscence. And what was interesting, the flower morphology here at the end of the season, or around the 26th, we were at a negative 0.36. So we still did have some varieties in that later date where we did see issues with flower morphology, and those were some of the lower yielding varieties. when we saw that late in the season. So just in conclusion, significant amount of variability, as I mentioned, flower morphology, pollen dehiscence, seed attributes and yield, but poor correlation. And again, I think the reason for that is just the lack of the heat stress pressure that we experienced in 2019. No extended periods of level 2 heat stress. And this just kind of shows you what we were experiencing. This is a heat unit accumulation graph looking at total heat units over the course of the season. That dotted line is the average for Maricopa. 2018 and 2017 are these red and green lines above the normal. This is 2019. And looking at it right there on the screen, it might not look significant, but if you look at specific portions of the season, we were up to about 400 heat units behind what we were in 2018. And that is up to about 4 weeks difference from 2018 to 2019. So it was significantly cooler and less heat stress. Moving forward, we want to continue with this evaluation and trying to capture the variability that exists in heat stress among years. We're going to do flower tagging this year, where we actually evaluate the flower and then tag it and follow it through to determine its fate. Looking at potential other sites, we have other sites in Arizona where we don't have heat stress, and looking at doing the same evaluations on those same varieties at two different sites where we do have level 2 and where we don't have level 2 heat stress. And we're open to ideas. On this work as we get started. We're just barely getting into it here. This is the first year. But I would like to thank the seed companies, the four participating seed companies, BASF, Bayer, Corteva, and AmeriCot. We appreciate their support and funding of this project. So with that, I'm done. If we have any time for questions, thank you. Kevin. Yeah, so we will get some of that from plant mapping data, but I really think the question was related to square shedding and whether or not we're capturing that and evaluating that. We will have some of that data, I guess, indirectly with our plant mapping. We will have some of that. I haven't looked at it yet, but I really think that the vast majority of the effects that we're seeing from heat stress is those three-day-old bulls. It's much less on the squares than it is on the young bulls. Yes?
Randy, I have a question regarding susceptible or real sensitive varieties. You indicated some that are tolerant. What about the other end? Did it stand out to me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were a few varieties in here, and all of these results will be published, but there were some varieties in that did have very poor pollen dehiscence throughout the entire season and a lot of issues with flower morphology, and particularly some of them in that later time frame after we had experienced the heat stress, where we continued to see that the issues with flower morphology. And there is a pretty good correlation between flower morphology and pollen dehiscence, for sure. So yes, in answer to your question, there are some. So looking at the difference, the distance between the stigma and the anthracnose, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.